D. Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter. He is presented each and every week by Bart Durham Injury Law. Now, Teron, I'm always glad to have you on the program, but I'm even more glad today because I want to ask you a question, beat reporter to beat reporter. You are a veteran beat reporter. I was a beat reporter. And when you are around a team every day, you pick up on things. You observe, you hear things. And I'll always remember during my time covering the Predators, walking into the dressing room, the losing dressing room, after the Predators lost the Winter Classic to the Stars at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. And long story short, I left that room. Nobody said this to me explicitly, but I left that dressing room knowing that Peter Laviolette was going to be fired any day. He was fired 5 days later. I heard you ask this question to Brian Callahan earlier today, but I want a straight yes or no answer and then some explanation, of course. Based on what you have observed and heard in the Titans locker room, has Brian Callahan lost the Titans locker room, yes or no?
And I would say no.
Okay. Why do you feel that way?
Well, I feel that way because when I asked some of the guys about that, the important thing that they said was they have talent and there's still reason to fight. So to me, it's like, okay, these guys haven't given up, and you would expect them not to give up, you know, 3 games into the season. But the fact that there's no finger pointing also, and that's something that I talked to Roger McCreary about and a couple other guys. Cody Barton had mentioned, you know, how guys have to just continue to stick together. And that tells me that he still has the locker room, because a sign of losing the locker room is when, you know, the offense starts blaming the defense and defense blaming the offense and vice, you know, all of that. I think that's a true sign that the locker room's lost.
How would you – I know that you are not a psychologist, but I'm going to ask you to play armchair psychologist here. How would you describe Brian Callahan's demeanor this season? I listened to his news conference after the game. I listened to his news conference today. He even said so himself, the worst thing that a coach can be is the story. But how would you describe how he's been handling all of the criticism that's been justifiably thrown upon him?
Yeah, I think the first couple of weeks it was fine. Today, it just seemed like there's a little bit of a crack in the armor. And that's just me just kind of outside looking in. I could tell the relief when the conversation shifted to, hey, you know, Cam Ward doesn't like the turf. You know what I mean? But we quickly brought it back to what it needed to be on, and that's this disaster of a start to the season. So I would say definitely not defeated, but I would say challenged, or even to use a word like that. I'm not going to say broken or defeated, but I would just say, you know, along those lines, like on the verge of it, I guess.
Now, TD, how is Denard Wilson approaching, you know, this after a loss? Because, you know, the first week, you know, it seemed like they did a pretty good job. Second half sort of got away from, you know, them a little bit, but they managed to keep the game close, gave the team an opportunity to win. They didn't, you know, obviously they didn't win. In the second game, you know, Big Tavondre's not playing. You see some chink in the armor, especially in the second half. This game, it seems like it was a full-out just, you know, a valve release. You know, they couldn't stop the run. They couldn't get to the quarterback, and when they did, they didn't get the guy on the ground. And there was holes in their passing game. How did Denard Wilson address that?
Yeah, well, I haven't talked to him. He speaks tomorrow, so I can't really tell you for sure how.
Well, how the other guys, you've spoken with the other guys, how are they taking it on defense?
They're taking it personally. I think the biggest thing that came out of the locker room, and it was a little distorted because a lot of the guys were gone by the time we got in there, because there was a bit of a gap between you know, Brian Callahan getting to the locker room and then getting to the podium. So, but the guys that I did talk to, you know, tackling is something that they have a big issue with. And, you know, they don't like that. And that's something that they're taking personally. And I think the focus is more on the runs, right? The fact that Jonathan Taylor, he had four broken tackles caused on that touchdown run. You know, that's something the guys were upset about. You know, they're upset about how things are starting to unravel in the fourth quarter as well.
Now, can you see, because, you know, I praised Calvin Ridley last week for, you know, coming back, or was it the week before, coming back and playing a much better game than he did the first game. This game, it's back to the drop passes. It's back to me, the not running routes full speed. That first route, watched it three to five times, and he didn't run that route full speed. What has been that thing between he and Cam Ward? Are they still – because it seems now he's going a little bit more to Alec Allmanner, and rightfully so, the kid's making some plays. But it just seemed like after that touchdown drop, it was like, okay, I'm going to have to find one of these other cats that can kind of, you know, make some plays for him, because right now Calvin's just not doing it.
Yeah, no, I asked Ward about that, and when I asked him that question, I cut out the likely answer he was going to give, which was, okay, you know, I make bad throws, so I can't get on. I cut that out by mentioning that, you know, and he said he still has confidence in Calvin. He knows he's going to need him. He's going to keep going to him, and that's pretty much where he is with that. So, obviously, Allmanner is emerging as a guy that is going to get a lot of targets. And I think Ward, his mindset is more just throws to whoever's open, and he's not really concerned about who it is. He just wants to hit the open man, which I think, you know, as a rookie, having that approach is superb.
Teron Davenport is with us. We're going back through yesterday's loss, Titans against the Colts. Teron, let me hit you with the Tavondre Sweat outlook. From what you understand, is it a high ankle sprain that is the issue? Or see, and was it originally a high ankle sprain?
I don't know what it was originally. It's an interesting situation, because I remember on Wednesday him saying, hey, I'm playing. And, you know, it was unprovoked. I just asked him what he needed to do to get on the field, and I was like, in regards to practice. And he said, you know, he's just going to continue to rehab and work it. And then I said, okay, well, what about playing? And he said, oh, I'm playing on Sunday. So I don't know, like, what really, took it from that to being placed on IR, because I did see him run on it on Thursday, and, you know, that was during individual period. That was the only day he practiced. So I don't know, honestly, what to tell you on that one.
Either way, regardless of how it happened, I'm really concerned about his entire season at this point, because he was already trying to play catch-up. Now this happens. We know how a high ankle sprain, especially for a guy who plays his position, that's going to linger for a while. So, that is just such a tough blow for a team that needs guys like him who was, you know, has promising ability to be there and continue to get better. And I'm really concerned whether that can happen or not.
Well, yeah, of course. And I think when you look at a guy that big also, you got to factor that in, because every step on that ankle is taking a lot. You know what I mean? So that's something else to consider.
Yes. So it's a worst case scenario, Teron, in so many ways. My approach, and I've said this on the air many times, I'm not as concerned about the one loss record as I am. I want to find pieces, especially if I'm Mike Borgonzi, I want to find pieces that I can take forward and build around and know what holes I have to fill. Decrease the amount of holes. But with the loss of Sweat now, we still don't know what Latham's going to look like. Maybe you can give us some insight there. But I see some promising things with DK and Allmanner, but they need more of those.
Yeah, they need more players. That even when everybody's healthy. I mean, that's always been the case. That's nothing new. They do need more players. Latham is still a work in progress. I don't know what else to tell you. It's the same issue as it was to start the season. And coming into this season, there was an understanding and an expectation that they were trying to set that, you know, don't necessarily expect the Lombardi Trophy to be marched down Broadway. And I think that's an accurate depiction of where they are right now. And they feel that there's time to turn things around, but the definition of turn things around for this franchise is different from what it may be for, you know, a team like the Texans, who has been a playoff contender the last couple of years.
I admire how Cam Ward is handling himself so far. He is doing his best. I love the makeup he's got. And maybe, Teron, you can give us some insight on how he's holding up. But I don't think this environment right now is making it easy for him to have any success. And I worry that after a while, he could unravel if this is what he's going to have every week. So tell me what you're seeing, because I love how he takes ownership of stuff that he probably doesn't have to, but he takes it anyway.
Yeah, he's done that all his life. You know, that's something that his dad told me he learned back in high school, where even if it wasn't his fault, he was going to take the blame. You know, and that's just, it's a part of his makeup as a quarterback. As far as the part about avoiding being broken or unraveling, I think the big thing is, he leads the league in sacks, right, 15 times. But it's interesting because he feels as though a good part of them are his fault. And so he's like, you know, my self-awareness is what's going to keep me from being broken, so to speak. So we'll see. I think he is pretty strong mentally. I know, you know, just from being able to interact with his family and talk to them. He comes from a strong background and one that brought him up to be mentally tough. So that's a good part of it. But you can only be so tough mentally and handle so much. And the young man has already handled an awful lot in these three games. So we'll see. But I would say that he will be fine.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D. Mason, Vingan, and Donick. He is presented each week by Bart Durham Injury Law. TD, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
All right, appreciate it. You guys take it easy.
Yep. Teron Davenport on the program. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will continue to take your Titans reaction. But coming up next, it is indeed 4 O'Clark. I'm just going to go with it.
Okay.
It was a mistake, but I like it. So we're going to do it. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head football coach, will join us next for his weekly segment. The Commodores, by the way, defeated Georgia State 70-21 on Saturday night with Willie Donick in attendance. The most points Vanderbilt has scored in a game in more than 100 years. We will discuss that and more with Clark Lee coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.